Oh, I got his ass now.
Do I have to be fast on the track?
I hate that guy.
This race could change the rest of your life.
Those absolute clowns at 15BMX.com.
Go on, do my best, and whatever happens, then it's good.
My butt all got stretched a little bit.
I got a tight little butt.
Look, I'm about to light this shit up.
Coffee Chatter Live, where are you guys at? Oh, Canada! Coming out of the answer tent right now. Pop Dog, Millionaire! Let's make some noise. Tori Nighthawk! Whoa!
January 1st, 2024, show 228, Olympic year, baby. And we are starting our official sixth year of Coffee Chatter.
Can we get a round of applause button? Where's the round of... Hold on. Let's just actually... We have the technology. Let's... Come on now. Season six? Are you kidding season me right six? Now? Come on.
Dude, I can't believe this is our sixth year of doing this podcast.
That's crazy. So I was telling people today, I was out playing some golf today, New Year's Day tourney, and I was chatting about the pod. He had to come do this. And I said, mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, dude, season six. This is our sixth year doing this.
It doesn't feel like this is our sixth year doing it.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, 2019, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Yeah, it's fucking wild.
Unreal, dude. Crazy, hey?
Yeah, it kind of feels like we just started it, to be honest.
I still get the jitters when we have like a new guest. We got Joey coming on. I haven't chatted with Joey a lot, and I have the jitters.
Joey
like,
Leto?
Yeah. So like a little nervous, you know?
I think there's going to... We've had a handful of Florida folks in our DMs on Coffee Chatter requesting Joey Leto for a while. So I think we will satisfy those people that message us about him. Great guy. Rising star. Really improved. Looking forward to catching up with Joey.
He's officially... It's going to be hard to ever call him a dark horse again. I think the last 2 years he's really...
He's not anymore.
No, he stepped into the class. He's been on podiums frequently enough that it's like you can't call him a dark horse. But also... Personally, like I don't know him that well, so I can't wait to chat with him and just hear a little bit more of his story and whatnot. The only time I've really ever spoken to him was for like 10 minutes at the autograph signing in 2022. We sat beside each other, and that was it. So it was a quick little BS, and that's it.
I got to hang out and chat with him a bit at the City of Industry National in LA this fall. And he did really well too. Got in the box and rode great. It'll be interesting to chat to him and see what his plans are in the sport, what he thinks of his year and all that, and get to know him better. We're in an Olympic year again. Are you kidding me? The Olympics in Tokyo just happened.
God, I gotta, awesome.
You know what really pisses me off when they call it the 2020 Olympics? They're like, okay, it was in 2021, first of all. So
yes,
it's not a 2020 Olympics. I understand why they're doing that. I think it's dumb.
I know.
Think you just call it the 2021 Olympics.
It's so awkward because, yeah, they brand everything years before as the 2020 Olympics. So everything's branded. So it's like, yes, it is the 2020 Olympics, but it's not. That's just the year, guys. Come on. That's just the year. I don't care if the stuff still says 2020. You can call it 2021.
Mm-hmm. So. Do you find that people, like athletes, call it 20? They call it the 2020 Olympics?
Dude, I don't know what I call it. I know what I want to call it, but in the moment, I get flustered. I panic. I just say a number.
Someone comes up to you like, oh, you're an Olympian. Awesome. When did you go? Which is the most common question.
Yeah. If they say, when did you go? I said, I went in 2021 Tokyo COVID Olympics.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The two questions. When did you go and how did you do?
Yeah.
those are the two questions.
More like, when did you go and did you get a medal? That's more like it. I feel like. Unfortunately,
it's so true. OSHA, it's like you medal or you don't exist.
Kind of true.
Sports ruthless.
I was in my I was in my interview for one of my my firefighter interviews. Like, and I'm sitting in front of three chiefs, like, or the training captain and two chiefs. And the one after I told them that, the one guy's basically he's like, yeah. So he's like, you win a medal, and I was just like, nope. He's like. Tough, eh?
Nope. He's like, oh.
Yeah, tough.
I spent the holidays at the Willoughby household, pretty much. Spent Christmas there.
No.
Spent New Year's there. It was great.
So no wonder you're telling me you're a little hungover, hey? You probably have some old fashions with Sam or what?
I woke up a little tired this morning for sure. Yeah. Had you know, me and Sam had a bunch of old fashions last night. It was a great time. Whole crew was there, sat outside by the fire pit in their yard. It was a great time.
See, now that's the kind of New Year's Eve celebration that I would be very happy with. You know, simple, quiet, you know, just chilling, having awesome. Drinks around the fire.
Yeah, 100%. We just hung out and yeah, it was a good time. We watched the ball drop in New York at 9, which was awesome too.
Nice.
So we were actually home before midnight, which was great.
Have you seen that? I don't know if you want to call it a meme or what it is, but I've seen that thing of like some parents with like the kids that look like they're probably, I don't know, 6 to 10 years old. And it's like 8:30 and they're just replaying a ball dropping on the TV. So the kids think it's midnight and they're just all going crazy as the ball drops. Oh my God, it's midnight. Whoa. The parents show the phone. It's like 8:30. It's like, that's smart. That's good parenting.
It is 100%. It worked out good. We watched the ball drop at 9, then we stayed for another like whatever hour or two and just hung out. It was great. The Willoughbys know how to host.
They are great hosts, aren't they? Yeah, great. I mean, they have a great house for it too. Great people, great house for it.
Yeah, it was awesome. I gotta say too, I gotta make a formal apology, Sharon Willoughby, for my swearing on the show. Sam's mom listens to our shows and she really likes them. Colin was telling me, except she doesn't like the swearing. So I'm sorry, Sharon.
I was going to swear right now, but now I feel bad, you know?
I know. Now it's tough.
Now it's tough. Look right now. Maybe that should be our New Year's resolution for the show. We try to clean it up a smidgen.
The thing is, I just talk freely.
That's true, too. We're not, yeah. This day and age, if you don't have, I don't want to say not super intelligent vocabulary, but it's just like, it's just very normal to swear all the time for us.
It's very normal.
Very normal.
Gonna quickly touch on my Baltimore Ravens absolutely drumming top seeds in the NFL right now. We went in and absolutely shit kicked Cam Woods 49ers in their barn. Some are calling it the Monday Night Massacre. So he was saying, the whatever 49ers for sure, blah, blah, blah. And then obviously we absolutely drummed them. So, I just sent the score to him, but I didn't want to talk shit. I told him like, look, I know it's not cool to talk after an absolute complete shit kicking. So I'm just going to leave this here and just send him the score. I did the same thing with my cousin. So Cam just kind of like laughed it off. Like, yep, that's right. Seen the Super Bowl. Yeah. That's how you take a loss.
Yeah. Fair enough.
My cousin. So I said the same thing to my cousin, who's a big 49ers fan. He started giving the attitude back. So then I just let him have it.
No way.
He started saying stuff like, oh, we got a lot of injuries. Started making excuses. So then I really just, I let him have it for 15 minutes.
Just give it right back, dude. If he's gonna give it to you,
yeah, he had to give it back to him.
Oh yeah, I mean, you guys did, you stomped on him. Let's be real. They've been.
Did you see the Ravens Dolphins game yesterday? They put up like 55 points on the Dolphins.
I don't want to say it, but like you guys are looking really good right now at a great time.
Not even close. They are the best team in the NFL right now.
I feel like it's been coming for the past couple of years. Lamar just kept getting injured, and now it's your guys' time to shine, dude.
MVP.
You think he's going to get it? I think so.
100%. 100%. Who else would you pick?
No, I wouldn't pick anybody else. I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So I think people were saying Brock Purdy, but then he was saying McCaffrey. But even those two, I don't think now are the front runners. Like Lamar is for sure.
The Ravens embarrassed Brock Purdy.
Yeah, they did, dude. They've been kind of crap in my opinion.
Absolutely embarrassed them. Yeah. Anyway.
It's going to be fun. First thing or a couple things. One, Season 6 and our presenting sponsor is staying the same right now, and it's Brogate Europe.
Absolutely, Brogate Europe. When it starts with a great gate, we all know that. Romain Mayu is going to win a lot on a Brogate Europe this
year.
We're just going to get out in front of that. It's going to be done all on a Brogate Europe. You're going to see Brogate Europe at the World Cups, World Championships, and Olympic Games. They're going to be at the Olympic Games again.
It's crazy. You guys, it's like people don't understand. It's like if you're going to race at a high level, you want to race like the BMX is that sport. You can do exactly what the pros do. Guess what they race on at the world level, Olympic level? It's a Brogate Europe. Your track eventually is going to need to buy a new gate, or it's going to need to upgrade equipment. What are you going to do that with? You might as well go to Brogate Europe. You know it's world-class equipment. So get it.
USA BMX season kicks off this weekend in Sarasota. We are back to the races, baby. Back-to-back weekends in Florida.
Way too quickly, dude. How is that turnaround just all of a sudden, boom?
It's quick.
So quick.
No break for anyone. Yeah. Like I've been coaching and training my guys and I have a bunch going to Florida for the next 2 weekends. So we've been working hard to train and get ready for those. And it's like, you don't get a break. You got to be sharp.
Do you think,
it's crazy in today's sport. You got to be like race ready January to end of November,
that's a huge amount of time. Hey,
which is not easy. Yeah. Like it takes a lot of work for sure. Yeah.
Just trying to look at the schedule now. Yeah. Dude, where's the pro schedule? How do you know which ones are the pro races here?
It's star. I think it's like a red star or something on the schedule.
Yeah, this is too new of a schedule. It's just like, do you think because it's so quickly, because it's Olympic year, because the World Cups are early and in Australia, New Zealand, do you think we see less pros at this one than a normal, like a season opener?
I mean, I saw Cam's in Mexico, so I don't think he's going.
Cam who? Cam Wood?
Wood? Yeah.
Yeah, so that's one person I could see him not going. I mean, he's probably taking a break. Getting ready for the World Cup. So that's the most important thing for him, I'm sure.
Yeah, for a lot of pros, I mean, yeah, they'll focus just more on the World Cups this year.
The second
Sarasota, and then, yeah, because, I mean, especially for someone like Cam, I mean, Phoenix is end of January in whatever, 3 or 4 weeks. So, I mean, you might as well start the season off on your home track, really.
You know, it's interesting, though. If he starts there, I mean, the World Cups are the weekend after, I think. I think that's when, what's first, Australia, New Zealand? We should really know this for the podcast. I think New Zealand's first.
I was going to say New Zealand, I think.
Yeah, okay. So I think New Zealand is like, it's got to be like a week. Maybe it's 2 weeks after. It could be a week, though.
Yeah, but it's not a big deal. I mean, you race the Grands in November, and then you race, I guess, 2 months later, sharpen up in Phoenix. Then you're, yeah, that's not like that long.
I just kind of meant the travel. Like, that's
the
big
travel.
I mean, yeah. He's fine. They've done it before. It's not
It's not that big of a deal, no.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's a little bit exciting.
I feel like once you get to a certain point with travel, it's like you race and then just travel and you show up and practice and race again. It's not like a huge thing.
You're right. I think if you make it a thing, it becomes a thing. There's obviously benefits to going early and getting acclimatized, but if you're sharp and prepared and ready to go, I mean, if you're there, you're there. You'll perform. The top guys always seem to do that.
Yeah, it's part of the job. Like if you want a career in this or in our sport or any high level sport, like you need to be able to travel well and recover well. It's just, you know, part of the game.
It seems like I don't know. It's just in other sports, I make when you're everyone's doing the same kind of travel, like NBA, NFL, NHL, like they're traveling daily. It feels like every couple of days they're probably on the road doing something, right? In our sport, because the sport we're in, it's very much like it's a monthly thing. Instead of like a weekly thing, you know? Maybe weekly.
No, I mean, if you go back-to-back weekends, you're jumping everywhere.
Yeah.
Which, for next few months, are pretty jammed with not even pros, but with amateurs. Like, I'm coaching a bunch of amateurs that are doing, like, a lot of nationals. Like, they're going to be traveling a lot the next, like, 4 months. It's very compact until the Worlds.
Really, hey?
Yeah, like, it's a pretty tough schedule. Like, you gotta be ready to go by the first race, so then when you... Like, as you keep racing every week or every 2 weeks, you can maintain what you have, what you built in the off season.
Yeah.
Because then once there's a lot of racing to be ready for.
Does USAMX stack their nationals a little bit more because of, like, Olympic year? Like, do they take a break for the amateurs at all? I kind of think not really. I'm just looking at the schedule. They kind of run it all the way throughout.
Not really.
No.
Yeah, it's busy, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good 4 months, especially with World Cup in Tulsa too. Like, big races in the US this year, Tulsa and the Worlds.
Dude, as BMX fans, you seriously get such a good year in Olympic year because everything thrown into the beginning of the year with the big anticipation of the Olympics rolling around. So there's so much to pay attention to, so many races to watch that mean a shit ton. So
I'm excited to see the Tulsa World Cup. I think that'll be a really good one.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the track has provided some great racing at the USA BMX races so far. And then you put more people on the track. I mean, it can only get better, right?
Yeah, I think that'll make for a good one. It's kind of interesting, that one, too. Like, you don't really have a pro rhythm section, obviously. It's kind of just one. So, yeah, we'll see how that works. But I think it'll be good.
It's kind of the one part of that track which kind of sucks because it's very... There's some passing, I guess. But it's definitely harder to pass when it's very basically like 2-2-2-2-2 all the way through.
Hard to make a mistake or separate, yeah.
Yeah.
But
kind of
the first two, we'll talk about it some more, obviously, but the first two straights of that track are no joke. The first, they're pretty big.
Yeah. No, they are. The first jump's burly. Like, it's one of the few tracks that has a good burly first jump still, I'd say. The second straight is good size for the women. The men, it's not big, but it's definitely technical, like, because that little jump out of the turn is miniature. So you really have to get that good to get the rest of the straight good.
One thing we haven't touched on because we took last week off was our guy Cam Larson joining the Answer S-Squared team.
Yeah, good call out there. Yeah, we finally got to
welcome
announce
to the squad. Welcome to the squad.
Come on now, let's give another round of applause button for that one. It's kind of tough having to keep that one on the D-low, hey? The down low for all this people. I don't know why I tried to act cool and say that.
Answer's got, as always, have good pros. Really good pros, men and women.
I like that they do that. It's consistently, and it's like they know when one or a couple people go out, they slide somebody else in, and like, dude, they have Jack on there right now, and it's like Cam has been flying. Deserves a good ride, factory ride. It's like they're picking up a USA based person that's pretty much at the top of their game right now. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially new ride, starting the season off in Florida. I could see him ticking off a couple wins.
I think so too, dude.
I think he's gonna tick off a couple wins.
Yeah, if you want to get into it, like how do we think the season opener is gonna go? I think we see Cam on the box with a win one of these for sure.
Jay Smooth on the box.
Yep. You know what? Three people right now that I plan to see on the box are Jay Smooth, Cam, and Joey Lito.
Can we get an Anderson Souza update?
We should message him and find out. I haven't seen or heard anything from him. I think I saw the one story I saw from him was him just with his family, just maybe on a birthday, Christmas, New Year's. I don't know what it was. It might have been months ago, but that's all. I haven't seen diddly squat.
I wonder what's happening there. So. Yeah. Curious Alfredo. To find out. This could be a good weekend for Alfredo.
Have you talked to Alfredo? Have you been in touch? Have you been in contact?
I would assume he's there, living in Florida.
Okay. I mean, I hope so, but you never know.
You would hope.
I know he spent some time there for sure, like especially in Sarasota specifically. When I was there with Joris a bit, like he'd come down and do some riding there as well. So
I kind of don't think there's going to be many pros there for some reason.
That's why I wanted to ask it earlier. I was like, I kind of feel like, unfortunately, it's going to be a small one. And I think Sarasota is a fantastic track to have a national at.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
For a Supercross Hill track, I mean, it's really good. It's quite technical. The third straight's big, provides options. And it's like, unfortunately, just the time of the year, for one, the year it is with Olympic year and where the World Cups are going to be. I see people, not as many people going to it.
I don't think there's going to be many Euros there at all.
Oh, I don't think we see one.
No.
Who are we going to see? What Euro is going to be there? Could we see a South American? I think maybe. Like maybe a Carlos, a Diego, or someone like that. But it's like, Sylvan's not coming over. Romain and like Joris, they're in France. I don't know.
You know what, though? I wonder why. Because like, if you're European, you've had a few months in the off season. It's not a bad way to start the year. Race two weekends in Florida, then go home and have like a month or 6 weeks, before the first World Cup.
I think people are they're just on that big block cycle. You know, it's just the big build for the World Cups in Australia, New Zealand, dude.
This is the year where everyone hunkers down.
Yes.
Everyone just kind of holds things pretty tight to the chest.
Yep.
Just kind of go about your business and then just show up pulling.
I straight up think that's it. And that's part of it. That's what's going to happen. That's what it seems like happens now. It's a routine thing.
I know it's first show of the year, obviously. We're right at the beginning of 2024.
Yeah.
Sirens on my end.
Oh, what do we got going on
there? There's an unreal sunset, by the way. Anyway, are we going to see anyone break out in a big way this year? Like, we're talking like big, big breakout.
Well, let's talk about who are some of the riders in the pro class that could be breaking out. I mean, I think in the pro class, Drew Polk and junior world champ
Thomas Matrano.
Yeah, Matrano. I think those are the two guys stepping into the class, right, that could potentially be the breakouts in the men's class, right?
Mm-hmm. I know Isaac's had really good success in the sport. He hasn't got like a huge win, you know, like an international win, World Cup, whatever. I feel like he could have one.
Yeah.
I don't know his situation, if he's healthy or whatever, but
you never kind of know these things. Kind of just take a stab at it. No, it's a good one. If you want to pick someone, maybe like a dark horse. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is hard to say is a dark horse, but
yeah, it's kind of a bad one to say dark horse, but are there any other US guys that are moving up? Cause I'm thinking of like this weekend, who's going to be there? Who's going to be in the class mixing it up? Who could break out early?
Ooh, that'd be a little early breakout. What do you think?
That's tough, dude. I don't know how many. It's not like we're getting to the old point of not knowing these younger guys. Maybe you know more because you're more in the mix with them.
No, I know the younger guys, but I'm not sure exactly who's moving up and who's not.
I think Drew is always someone that's fun to watch race, just because of his style of racing. So I'm curious to always to see how that translates into the pro class, where I'd say the level is much higher at a, like at a, the average pace is much higher. So that'll be interesting to see.
You know what we're really going to have to keep tabs on is the French Olympic qualifying this year. It's going to need to be a constant update after each race.
Problem is, I don't want to ask the French guys themselves, so we might need to get some knowledge of exactly how it works so we can keep track of it on our end.
I think we've asked them and they've told us and we just forgot what it was.
It's something to do. It's just World Cup mains positions, like who does better in the main events. Something like
that's
that.
That's so badass.
But it's like, that's hard to keep track of because one, I don't know how far back it goes, but probably the whole Olympic qualifying cycle, I would think. So.
Yeah.
Maybe Olympic we should look at the average finishes or at least see what kind of positions like the Sylvans, Renkerels have, because those are the two guys in my head right now.
Man, these Olympics, you really got to be ready for like a 3-month window if you're trying to make the team.
That's why I think people are hunkered down though, because they're like, dude, what's the point? Obviously, I need to get ready for the races, but it's like, if I'm not sharp to win races, like for them at least, if I'm not sharp enough to win, then I'm not going anyway. So it's like, might as well just try to be as perfect as I like possibly be for those events.
Oh, you got to just be ready for 3 or 4 month period to really ball out.
They just got to send it. It's like, all right, time's coming. Time to win or bust. Like,
yeah. What do you think the track's going to be like in France this year at the O Show?
Well, it's under the roof. It's that one. But I mean, I think they're going to make changes, maybe slightly, but it's kind of what you see.
Yeah,
like,
do you think they're going to make... Yeah, I was wondering, do you think they're going to make any changes?
I think they are. Why is our live feed on Facebook black?
It's black?
We got an issue right now.
Starting off hot.
We got an issue. In season 6, 2024, we got issues starting early. The jankiness of Coffee Chatter continues.
I didn't even check. It's not working.
It just went black, dude. Just now.
That's fine.
Oh, boy. Yeah? All right. You're my friend. Well, I trust you, dude. You're my friend. I trust you. Just let it catch up and we'll see what happens. We'll
continue. It's fine.
All right. Like I said, you're my friend. I trust you. Continue. I think they make changes.
Rick says I
hope they make changes. So that's because you can't have the French guys, dude, just having dude that much of an advantage on an Olympic track. That's crazy town.
It's a joke.
It would be absolutely insane if they did that, hey?
So. What needs to happen is someone needs to come in and just demolish it a week before and build it again.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be the best thing to do, I think. Obviously, maybe more than a week, but yeah, I agree.
Okay, but yeah. Okay.
We kind of knew that wasn't the case. But yes, I agree. I would say they don't even need to pre-test it. You know what I mean? Like, they're not having a test event this year. Because they know the venue, I think. So
you know what? Yeah, this is come to think of it, this is the first O show without a test event.
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't even think of that. Yeah. Wow. So.
On the women's side of things for the USABX season opener, do you think we'll see like how many new faces we're going to see there? Like, I think what, Ava Corley maybe is going to step up into the pro class. Maybe is she?
No, she'll be racing. I would assume she's still racing at 23.
Oh, well then, no. I'm at the USA runs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be fun to watch, actually.
Yeah.
That will be really fun to watch.
I'm trying to think of if there's any other women that are going to step up into the class. I don't know if there are. Someone should hit us up in the chat and let us know.
Yeah, it's like, obviously, she's an exceptional rider, has already won a lot, and has the speed to race in the class. I think the biggest thing will be getting used to the different format, getting used to having probably... more faster riders around, like trying to get out of the gate with a fast woman on both sides of you isn't easy, and it's something that's not really the same in amateur. Obviously, there's a bigger difference even in junior and U23. Like in the elite class, it's tough. Like everyone's fast at the first jump, everyone's good, like they're big and strong. So I think that'll be probably the biggest thing to get adjusted to. It's gonna be fun to watch and follow.
Yeah, it's people. I think if you're not in it, you have a hard time understanding how big the jump is to go from amateur or U23 into elite. Like people don't really understand how it's like,
it's a pretty big difference.
Yeah. You can be, especially in the men's class. Do I think it's a little easier in the women's class? Yes. Because you don't have the same amount of maybe riders that are up there that fast out of the start as you do men. Maybe it just starts later. Like in women, once you get to the semi in main, at least at the World Cup level, then it's like that. But guys, dude, it starts at quarters easy. Like easy quarters. That's going to be like...
Oh, yeah, before that
so
even.
So fucking... Yeah, you can start eighth, sure. Honestly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like there's just so many people that are so fast around you that you don't have the option to be slightly off like you do an amateur and then maybe just make it up on the second and third. Like if you miss your first or second, like, okay, cool, you're shot at the back.
The pace of the laps is so different too because everyone's track speed is really good. The intensity of every lap is different. You have to treat every lap like a main event when you get into elite. Like obviously an amateur and when you're a bit younger, you can usually get out front and kind of cruise at home. A lot of times in pros, you got to pin it to the end. The race days are quite a bit more taxing physically and mentally for that matter.
Yeah. We have Joey in the chat here. The person waiting in the chat is Evan. we're going to admit him. I hope it's Joey.
Pull Evan. Yeah, just pull Evan on here. Yeah, hell yeah.
Joey could become Evan now.
Evan is connecting. This will be fun.
This will be interesting. Maybe
we'll talk to Evan, yeah.
Can you imagine we just get an Evan in here?
Evan, is that... He's connected. Evan, is that you? I don't know. It says you're connected. We can't hear anything.
He's got no audio, no video yet. He's coming on.
Oh, he's back.
There we go.
You guys hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, we can hear you.
I'm using Evan's computer.
Oh, I was like, who's Evan? Who did I send the link to?
How's it going, dude? Happy New Year.
You too. Happy New Year.
Do anything fun for New Year's?
I did. I just spent some time with some high school buddies and just kicked it. Nothing too exciting.
Where are you at right now? Are you at home?
I'm at Evan's house, my buddy Evan Schaefer's house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're just squirrel hunting, so.
Dude, I've seen he's an avid hunter. That's sick.
Yeah, I love it. He's just like, one, he's an avid hunter, but he's also just like really into outdoors and just being in nature. It's cool.
You kind of are too. I've seen like, so obviously we try to do a little bit of research before, you know, our guests come on, especially if we don't like know them as well. You're a big, you're a fishing guy, hey?
Yeah, I love it. Yep. Fishing, hunting. It's all fun.
You just grow up doing that?
Well,
kind of, not really hunting so much. I've always just been fishing a lot because I grew up in Florida.
Right.
So I've like go fishing a lot with my dad, but recently, probably the past 2 or 3 years, I've been getting more into hunting. My parents move in northern Michigan.
Yeah.
So the deer hunting is really good there.
That'd be pretty wild.
Where do you fish in Florida? Do you go out into the open ocean and fish, or do you fish in like the lagoons, or where do you fish?
So it kind of depends on the time of year or like what we're feeling up for. But typically, so like right now the waters are super cold, so all the fish are like up in the creeks and stuff. So we've been like fishing the skinnier waters, and it's kind of cool though because it changes throughout the season. Like in the fall we're at like open grass flats a lot on the ocean, and then this time of year we've been like in skinnier water and kind of fishing in creeks and stuff. So it's cool change of scenery.
Is there any alligator concern right now when you're fishing in the fucking ditch or whatever? Not ditch, but
no, we usually fish in the ocean. So there's like I've never seen a saltwater croc, but that's the only thing that you would be concerned of. The bigger concern would be the sharks. But certainly like bass fishing or any type of freshwater fishing, for sure you're gonna deal with at least one alligator.
No way, dude.
When you say deal with, what are we talking about? You see one, you have to physically, like, what are we talking about in terms of dealing with one?
They don't usually bother you. Like, usually you don't bother them and they don't bother you. Some of them are more aggressive. Some of them, like, if you hook into, like, a bass or something, they'll, like, be more aggressive because they're predators, obviously. They want to eat the food that you have connected to a string. It's an easy dinner for them, but I've only had that happen a couple of times.
That's wild.
That's sick.
Tori, would you ever go fishing where you know there's going to be like an alligator or crocodile or anything?
Oh yeah, they're everywhere in Florida. It's like hard to go places.
You probably can't go near water in Florida without being close. James, it's probably similar. Like back home in Canada, we will go like for a walk or hike and there's bears walking around.
Right. Yeah, probably that's cool.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, but we know a black bear doesn't want to eat me. I don't know about those crocodiles or alligators, dude.
Black bears are good eating.
Have you had black pepper before?
No, but I've watched a lot of cooking shows on them, and people say they taste really good.
Are there any, like, would there be any bear hunting then? You said is it Michigan, you said?
No bear hunting. I don't know if you can get tags or not for bear, but if you can, then you definitely have to draw for them.
Can I quickly ask, what's the difference between an alligator and a crocodile? Do you know?
So a crocodile is a saltwater animal or a reptile, and then alligators are freshwater. And then the noses on crocodiles are a lot more, typically like a lot more aggressive than like an alligator would be.
Okay.
From what I've heard. I don't know. The only time I really learned about, like, sometimes I'll listen to Australian podcasts on, like, I don't even remember what his name is, but just some, like, I forgot what his name, I listened to it with Evan a lot, but it's how, like, saltwater crocodiles ambush. It's a Joe Rogan podcast. But crocodiles, they're crazy. They're like, snouts are a lot more pointed than an alligator. I don't know, but
jeez. I was gonna say, BMX related, how was quick turnaround from the grands until first race this year? Obviously, like, did you take any time off the grands and get back to it, or what the last like 5-6 weeks look like for you?
So I took like 2 weeks off after grands. I did get like a little bit sick after grands too, so
oh weird,
that's kind of you know, the grands flu for a bit, but it wasn't like enough to like take me off my feet or anything.
Yeah,
but I just like took a week, spent time with family up north at my parents' house, and then came back here and started getting ready for the Sarasota race. And honestly, it feels like the same season because it's like the gap hasn't been too big, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Gotta just keep it going. Like, you just refresh and then just keep the fire burning. Yeah.
Yep.
We're kind of talking about on the show. Like, it just seems to me, at least, it seems like it's just like the blink of an eye. You kind of get to do the holidays, but it's hard to get much downtime before you get back into it.
Right.
Yeah. Is that something you like? Do you like quick turnarounds between races? Would you prefer a longer off season? What do you prefer?
I mean, everything's pushed forward because it's an Olympic year, obviously. But
for sure, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I find joy in both of the things. You know, it's like if they're longer, then I enjoy more time just trying to get stronger and kind of stay off the bike if those periods are longer. But if they're shorter, then it's also fun because you just kind of continue on the path that you've been going on.
Yeah, and speaking of paths you've been on, you had a really good year, and I think you improved in your racing in many different ways. What anything this past year that clicked, or you maybe improved and focused on more in training, anything like that?
So I got a new coach, well, not really new anymore, but the beginning of last year was kind of like pretty much the start of like when I was training with Connor. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of like the first kind of change to last season. And then another one was I graduated school last year too. So it was kind of like the year where, you know, it's like either you're going to make it or it's time to go focus on another career. So I just kind of wanted to be smart about it and just kind of do everything that I could, given like the hand that I was dealt. Because a lot of times it was difficult to be, James, I'm sure you're familiar to be like do school and EMT work combined with racing. So that was kind of like another challenge to juggle, but in the end I think it was good, because I went to school out of state, and being away from school or away from Florida kind of gave me like the chance to not just go ride every day, you know, and kind of focus on other things, because I've always just loved to ride, so my problem was doing the other things.
Kind of nice, Kevin, that like, yeah, it forces you to get away for one. You almost like you want to have a getaway that you're interested in, so it forces you to get away, but then it also, you know, makes you want to get back on the bike and keep riding even more. I've always used to think that's like, oh, I don't want to do that. I just want to ride all the time. And then I finally got to the point where I was like, you know, maybe I'll just try mixing it up. And I quite enjoyed it a lot. Like, it forced you to step away and like take your mind off completely. And to the point where it's like, oh, fuck, you know, I just want to, all I want to do is just go train. So when you're done with school, it's like, fuck, finally just get back on the bike and not have any worries. And it feels good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It's a good switch too, in my opinion. Like, it's, you flip a switch and then you're able to focus on one thing. And then just within the same day, you're focusing on the sport.
I feel like Connor was always good at that too. Cause I remember like when he was racing, obviously he was doing a lot of school at the same time. But
yeah, he chipped away at school like while he was racing too. Yeah,
he did too, right? Yeah. So you were going to school to become a paramedic, an EMT?
Yeah, paramedic. So I went to school. It was like, so it's not typically like what a normal EMT or paramedic program is. It's a 4-year Bachelor of Science paramedic program, and pretty much I went because Lindenwood offered that cycling scholarship. And I also got like with that, and then the Bob Warnke scholarship, and then also the Alice Bixler scholarship, plus the academic one and the athletic one that I got from the school. Wow. So
good for you.
It was pretty amazing to be able to go to school like with that much support from the sport. But it was cool. And then it's a unique program because it wasn't like, typically it's like a tech school and you go, it's a trade. So you go to like EMT and then most will like work as an EMT for a bit. I don't know if it's, I was actually going to ask James that, but I don't know if it's the same or not in Canada, but you go to EMT and then after that, you'll go to paramedic school. And then pretty much just the 4-year combined the two. So it was like nursing school kind of, you did all your gen eds and then you did EMT school and you had to get your EMT license before you got your paramedic license. So then you get your EMT license. And then after that, it was paramedic school. So it's kind of funny. Like, our class started off with 30 people in it and 5 of us actually graduated and got our medic license.
Dude, that's crazy. Everyone
just dropping like flies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a lot of school though. Like, I don't know exactly because like the stages I think are a little different here, but it's, yeah, like I think it's similar where it's like, yeah, you have to get, for us, I think it would be like your EMR, which is similar, before you got to get that license
so right.
you can then get some hours in and then also go back to school to then get your paramedic license for the next level up. So, dude, that's a lot of school to be doing. So, like, that's impressive.
Thank you.
Dude, I think it's great, too. It's like when you're done racing, you have a career to go after.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I really love it, too. Like, I just enjoy the medical field and enjoy being on the ambulance.
Cool.
It's kind of like a race, you know what I mean? Like,
there's
pressure there, and James, I know you're familiar with it too. And it's just, there's people relying on you in those high pressure situations, and you just got to do your best to stay calm and give the person what they need.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Do you feel like you can handle that well at races too?
As far as like the pressure,
yeah. Like, do you feel like you handle those moments well?
Yeah, I think I do. It's kind of weird because I know I've been like, my brain's just tying the two together now, but I like think about things like at the track. I'm like, sketchy double before the step up. There's a blunt force trauma. But I don't know. I don't really. And then I'm like, oh, we got a trauma on the step up. How are we going to get the guy off?
You're getting ready for your race. You're like, oh, maybe I should just get over there and start helping the guys out, helping the paramedics out there.
No.
I think I
do pretty good with staying calm, though. I just try to be smart about things. Like, sometimes I'm not as snappy or quick to come to conclusions, but I don't know if I just think about them hard enough and kind of let my mind ease that way.
What do you find challenging about doing well in the elite class? Like, obviously the level of racing is high and it, you know, it's just generally difficult sport to be successful at. What do you feel like is a big challenge for you to do well?
A big challenge to do well. Honestly, the biggest challenge is like just staying the course every day, even on those like bad days that aren't really too good. because there's just mental blockades and things that get in your way of like, hey, what am I doing? I need to be kind of directing my focus other places. But then I don't know, you just this year in even last year, I've been, well, I guess this is the first, but last year I was a lot better at kind of like pulling myself together. And this is what I'm doing now. I'm just going to focus on this. And then any other thoughts past that, just kind of blank them out. Yeah. Just kind of be present and in the moment.
That's good. Yeah. It's a hard thing to do at times. So it's like, do you do anything to practice that or help it? Have you had any like coaching for that?
Like to keep your mind calm?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely have had coaching for it. I mean, like I'll like get anxiety or whatever about just life in general. And then Connor helps me out with that a lot because it's like one thing to coach and be like, hey, do this many squats and do this many sprints. But he's also helped me like as a guide to making decisions in my life and really kind of thinking them through. Like, because a lot of times I like pull myself towards one direction and he's like, sometimes he'll just make me realize like, okay, here's the reality of this direction that you've just pulled yourself into. And then, and then he's like, here's the reality of where you're heading, you know, and just kind of helps me in that way to stay on the path and make decisions that it's going to make me better.
That's awesome. Cause especially there's so much going on. Like there's training, there's how to prepare. Then you got to deal with sponsorship and travel. Like there's a whole, the career's not easy. The racing's not easy, but just managing all the excess stuff can be tough and overwhelming too. Like it helps to have someone that is helping you through it and has done it before.
Yeah.
Looking back at this year too, what are you most proud of that you felt like you did? You had a lot of good races and you did really well. Like is there anything in particular that you're proud of that you did?
I was proud of a lot of things from last year. Rock Hill was definitely special to me. My old team manager was there and I was kind of staying with him for the weekend. Renato, he ran the Alto crew, which the orange, blue and white guys, crazy jerseys.
Yeah,
but that was kind of a special one because it was my first like supercross podium and it was like late at night under the lights. And I don't know, it felt really good to be able to pull it together. I got the one at Oldsmar, but that was like the first USA BMX one off of a supercross hill. And it was like Balto was there and then Connor was there. I don't know. It was just a special night.
That's cool. Sure. Yeah. Dude, doing it under the lights like that, it's got to feel, there's something about it. I don't know what it is with sports, but just being under the lights like that, it's so good.
Just sets the mood. It really
does. I agree.
What do you think of Supercross? Do you like it? Like, what do you think of racing at, you know, World Cups and obviously now a big part of the US series on Supercross now too?
Supercross in general, the whole World Cup series, it's a lot of pressure. I knew it was going to be a lot of pressure going into it, but a lot of times it's hard to like really know until you actually do it. Mm-hmm. But no, it was fun. I mean, it was cool traveling to, I went to Argentina and then I was in Scotland for the Worlds and just traveling to all these new places just because of my BMX pedal bike.
Yeah.
So
it was kind of a surreal feeling. And obviously it's like those are things that you dream about since you were a kid, and especially when it's uncertain too. Like going into the year, I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna make the world's team, or you know. So it felt good to be there, and then once I was there, I was like, oh my god.
did you feel like you could settle into your routine still with the travel and the new races and all that?
To a point. I mean, I was like, hey, I know how to get on this airplane. And then I was sitting there on the airplane for 10 hours and I'm like, okay, when are we going to land now? But, no, it was good. I had, USA Cycling helped me a lot with it, like just kind of getting acclimatized to traveling all over the world and communicating with people who don't speak your language.
Yeah.
The World Cups are tough. Like the racing is so tough, and then you got to deal with time change and travel and everything. It's not easy to get used to it initially.
Yeah. No, it was tough for sure. And the pressure was, like I said, it's one thing to be like, yeah, I know what it's going to be like, but once you actually do it, then it gets real.
Everything's just a little bit amped up, just a little bit more because everything, travel, races, people.
I was going to say, same thing, James, like the magnitude, like you get in the gate, it just feels different than like a USA BMX race.
Yeah, I agree.
Joey, when did you start, like, when did you decide kind of going for the World Cups and all that was kind of what you wanted to do? Cause I feel like, to be honest, I feel like you're one of those guys who's coming to the class a little bit under the radar and has kind of maybe like surprised people like getting on the podium and stuff, but now you're just your normal guy in the class. And so when was that kind of that push for you made that it's like, okay, I'm going to go into the pro class, try to do well, and then do World Cups and all that as well.
So World Cups kind of, I did the most World Cups last year. I did one U23 one before I did this elite season, and I got fifth place there. And then that was kind of cool because it was really the first race I did that wasn't a USA BMX race, because I've never raced like a world championship or anything like that. Like I've always just been a USA BMX kid.
Right.
And that was the first time that I was like, wow, there's actually races that are USA BMX races. And then, I mean, obviously you dream about racing World Cups, but that was kind of the point where it was like, okay, I want to try and shift gears and be a competitive elite in the class and just take the steps that are going to get me there really. And that's kind of, I would say, like since that point of the whole Bogota trip, it was like, okay, this is how it's going to be. I need to make sure that I'm doing the steps so that I don't regret anything, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's cool. Cause I feel like a lot of times some people like you hear like some guys, I mean, I don't know in Europe more, but it's like, they're thinking about the Olympics from such a young age or doing World Cups from a young age. And you know, it's kind of like, maybe it's a little bit later. I don't know. It's like, yeah, you go to the World Cups in Bogota, like, holy shit, like this is pretty fucking sick. Like let's go in now and see what we can do here.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are pretty big. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have anyone growing up that you really pulled inspiration from that you liked watching?
So I grew up doing Percy Owen clinics every Wednesday, and that guy inspired me more than anybody has ever inspired me in the sport. He was incredible. Like you go to like a typical clinic these days and it's like, this is how to jump, this is how to manual, this is how you do gate, block the inside or whatever. But like when you showed up to Percy clinic on Wednesdays, it was time to work. Like you'd put your bike down and then you'd be like, all right, run the bleachers.
Old school, baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With the gloves on and the clip shoes.
Hell yeah.
Running the bleachers. No, oh, I loved it.
Dude, that's good. That's, we don't have, who does that anymore, right? It's like, who's going
to
put people to the paces? But it's like, dude, that's work, dude. That's part of training.
Right. Yeah. It was cool. And it was like every Wednesday you just show up and just be ready to work. But he was inspiring. He won a lot of world championships as an amateur and did pretty well in pro too. So I've always just kind of looked to him when I was like a young kid riding Sarasota, like, wow, I want to do that, you know?
Speaking of Sarasota, I saw something you posted this week on your story. Like you were one of the people to get the track going like 10 years ago. Let's hear that story. Let's give us.
So the scoop on Sarasota is, pretty much since 2011, Sarasota has been trying to, cause long before it was a supercross track, it was an amateur track, and it's, one of the oldest tracks. Sarasota and Waterford Oaks, believe, are the two oldest tracks in the U.S.
Sounds in Michigan, right? Waterford Oaks.
Yep. And then in 2011 is really kind of when like volunteers started pushing for it, trying to get it, pretty much into a supercross track. And then the county kind of bounced it back and forth for a while, and then like it would get denied. And then like a new proposal would come and it'd get denied again. But in 2013, I like skipped the whole day of school, wrote like my little speech out. And then I went to the county commissioners in my cycle craft jersey. And then I gave them the speech and I'm like, we should build a supercross track. And then after that, the county commissioners did. And it was kind of unreal because it was like, it was getting denied before. And then all of a sudden, this cute little kid comes on and
little Joey comes in.
Yeah. He's like, can I get a cool track?
Dude, good for you, man. That must have been so nerve wracking because you would have been pretty young then too.
Oh yeah, I was nervous. I was 12 years old talking in front of like whole committee.
Jesus. And dude, good for you. For you, man.
Thank you. Thanks. It was good though, but I'm not much of a public speaker. Like even now I'm not too confident, but I don't know. It's just sometimes you just got to do it. And that was one of those times where if I wanted to double on third to get bigger, then I got to ask for the bigger track.
And man, look at it now. Like it's hosted a World Cup pro races and it's turned into an awesome facility.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. I think it's the best track, but I'm a little biased.
No, it's really good. Like I'll actually race it once, but it's a great place. It really is.
Yep.
Kind of wild that between that and Oldsmar, it's the hotbed for BMX now. It's a place to go for training. A lot of people still go there for training. Like I was going there a bunch because it's a great track, great spot to be. Everything about it is good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always thought it'd be a cool idea to do like a back-to-back USA BMX weekend with Oldsmar and Sarasota.
Yeah,
for sure. It's like it's almost a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they? We tried to pitch this for the World Cups.
Good question.
They still are. They did the World Cups back to back at the same track. It was all for financial reasons. They're like, okay, like we can do the 10 World Cup races this year, but two of them need to be back to back. One, it was financial, but also two, it was like, I think it was in the media contract that they needed to do two for that reason. I don't know if it was for money, but it's like if you're gonna do two back to back, why not just do Oldsmar and Sarasota? Like it's close enough that you're going to spend the money to stay and be somewhere. You're spending like a smidgen extra just to transport the stuff from one spot to the next. Like it's not like you're flying it across the world, right? I think it'd be so doable. Right.
I think it would bring in like so many more pros from around the world too if they had like,
yeah,
because I mean even like the World Cup scenes, it's like, oh, there's four races in Argentina within 2 weeks, we're gonna go there. And yeah, just so many people go. So I think it would kind of be a similar situation with that. They did those back-to-back weekends.
And when you think about it, it's absolutely ideal. Like, of course, it makes a lot of sense to do back-to-back weekends in general. It's kind of boring to do it at the same track. And there's two different tracks. And you don't have to travel. You could literally have two separate races. It's like, guys, we couldn't draw up a better situation here for everyone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
And I think if they put one more supercross track in Florida, in a maybe not like it doesn't have to be super close. Florida's big enough, you can spread out a bit. You could have a Florida Triple Crown supercross series within the series. I think that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
All right, Joe, I'm going to need you to go get another supercross track set up somewhere.
put one in Orlando or something.
Yeah. I'm not as cute as I was when I was 12. it might not work this time.
All right, James, we got some fantasy questions and questions the grandstand. You got anything else before we do the fantasy questions?
I'll ask this one to everyone too. Yeah, I got one because there was somebody sent it in trying to, I don't know his name because I cut off the name on the screenshot here, but they asked us, and I'm going to ask all three of us to answer this one. What are the top three most satisfying things in BMX? And it's got to be on track stuff. All three of his answers were on track. So what's the most three satisfying things to do on a BMX track in a race or on the track in practice or training?
I mean, I'd say win a race, or you know what else is really satisfying? If you're in a super hard semi or something, and like, I don't know, you get like fourth and you make it through. That's really satisfying too.
Okay.
Do those count?
I mean, yeah, his were all like skill related, but I think that counts. No, there's no barriers around this. Let's just go at it.
as far as like for skills? I'd say like smashing a jump really low, just like hitting it perfect. Yeah. Or just like the exact opposite, pulling back and going as high as you can on it.
Sarasota's second straight, second double is good for that, hey? That's a good
one. Big one for that.
You know what, too? It's like if you're nervous to do a hard pro section, you get through it perfect first try. That's pretty fucking satisfying.
Yep. I agree.
For me, it's like, hitting a big triple you've been eyeing up for a while. You've been setting it up. You're like, okay, I can see it. I just haven't been able to, you know, get the balls to send it. And then you do and you hit it perfect. That's a good one for me. Yeah.
I think the best is like when you're hitting a pro set and then you just don't have to pedal because you hit the jumps good.
Oh, what a feeling.
Just flowing.
Yeah.
You know what else is great too on a supercross hill? You just do a perfect start and you just keep your wheel up for four pedals and just a perfect little four pedal up, put it down right after the kink. You feel great about it for sure.
That's what he said. That was one of his. I need to find his name. But there's wheelie to the kink. That's a good one.
That is extremely, you just feel like it was a better gate even if it wasn't faster. Everyone wants to do that. Like everyone, when they first start supercross, wants to keep their wheel up for four pedals every time.
Unless it's like 12 o'clock.
Yeah, you're just penciling the whole time.
Just doing this. All right, Joe, we got some fantasy questions. There's 10 fantasy questions. All right, whatever comes to mind.
Okay.
All right. If you could be a professional athlete in a different sport, what would it be and why?
PBR. Just because.
What's PBR?
Bull riding. Professional bull riding. Just because I was watching it in Argentina a lot, and it looks gnarly.
I thought you were going to say sport fishing or something.
Well, that would be hunting, fishing for sure, but no, I don't know if you would consider that a sport.
I guess it is. Sport fishing a thing? What did I just said a thing? Like, he's like, you sound like an idiot right now.
Favorite movie?
Favorite movie. Oh man, I don't watch movies. the original Cars is just a really good race movie. Not gonna lie.
Great. I haven't seen it, but
I don't know. That one just comes to mind.
All right, fair enough. All right. Favorite singer or band?
Favorite singer. I've been listening to a lot of Stick Figure lately. Just because I like to listen to it when I go fishing.
Favorite BMXer to watch ride?
Tyler Whitfield back in the day.
Oh, fucking skill sessions.
Mm-hmm.
He put out some banger videos for his time.
Yeah, he really did.
It is absolutely incredible. I watched those for days at the time.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Favorite state? I guess we'll go outside of Florida and Michigan. if those are your probably your top two.
Favorite state outside of those two? We'll go. I like Tennessee.
Favorite city?
Favorite city? Probably Nashville, now that we're on the Tennessee topic.
Oh, yeah, stay with it.
Least favorite thing about BMX?
Good question. I love this kind of question.
Least favorite podcast. Thing. I would say it's like feeling deflated after not doing good.
Oh, it's just the worst, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just train your balls off, you go to the race, get smoked, and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. That's a bad one.
Can I ask then? Because the kind of common thing is like when people have something else outside of BMX, it's kind of easier to get through those. Do you find like, because I feel like you've done both now. You probably had school, done the races, and you're not going to school right now, right? You're just racing?
Yep, just racing.
Do you notice there being a difference in like how you feel after an event, like while you're going to school versus maybe now?
Yeah, there's a big difference between the two.
Yeah.
Before it was like, oh man, I got to be at a labor and delivery hospital for 12 hours and I just raced yesterday. And now it's on a real note, it was just kind of like more to juggle when I was in school. Mm-hmm. And then versus now, it's just more time to reset and then get back to focusing on racing.
Right. Yeah.
favorite track?
Sarasota.
Hell yeah.
I knew that was coming. All right. You have to go through a race day without one of the following. Your long seat post, iPhone, or a pair of socks. What are you picking?
I gotta have the socks.
You gotta have the fucking socks. Yeah, that's you really
must.
Do.
That's a must.
Yeah, maybe out of the three, maybe the most important is wearing socks.
What was the other one? The seat post and
iPhone or a long seat post?
Oh, the phone's gone. Well, I gotta know what moto I am.
That's the thing, it's tough. So and I wanted to put like iPhone or iPod. So I don't know if you listen to music on race day, but basically no iPhones, you can't listen to music and you can't communicate with anyone.
Oh, I could do no music. I do that a lot of times. Okay.
All right, so which one would you scrap?
If I could get my motos, then I would scrap the phone. If not, I would scrap the seat post.
God, the seat post would be tough. Like you come after like a 35-second lap and your just legs are on fire and you're just
right to the chair.
I mean, just walk it off, baby. Walk it off. Joey just hands on his head, just walking through the parking lot.
It'd be a long day.
Oh, that would be a tough day. Yeah. Very tough. All right, last one. Celebrity crush.
Celebrity crush. I want to say Taylor Swift, but I don't want people to get mad at me.
Swiftie. Fuck yeah, yeah. Swiftie.
Yeah, Taylor Swift.
She's fantastic.
Sure. Taylor Swift just runs the world. She really does.
Mm-hmm. Not going to lie, when I was in school in St. Louis, I would just listen to Taylor Swift and go ride the skate park.
Dude, hell yeah. That's awesome.
Dude, she's so good. Like, even if people don't like her music, you can't deny how good she is at what she does.
Yeah, she's talented. I agree.
Very. Yeah.
I want to go to one of her concerts just to see how many people are there too. Like, I just love that atmosphere of like she has like an entire, it seems like the entire world's just there in the stadium watching her.
She'd be really good live, I think.
So good. Hey, yeah.
Yeah. All right, we got some questions from the grandstands. James, do you have these ones too? Or
no, I don't have them right now. I came in hot to the show.
All right, from Mitch 381, what's one thing you're excited for this year for your BMX schedule?
Traveling to New Zealand and Australia. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be great awesome.
Do you have your schedule planned? So you're doing Sarasota. Are you doing Phoenix as well before going over there?
No, I'm not gonna do Phoenix. I'm just gonna go and then straight to New Zealand.
Cool.
Brian Landers, morning or evening sprints and why? That's a good question. I don't think we've ever had that question before.
I like evening sprints. Just because I always feel like I'm faster in the evening than in the morning.
Okay, I was going to say the same thing. I like the body's just way more awake at that point and certainly faster.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll go sprints. You ever do sprints at night? You feel like you're the fastest fucking person in the world. It's dark.
Especially when like the street lights are on and they're like.
Yeah, it's like you're like, yes. I'm like Dash from The Incredibles right now.
Yeah.
Or like you ride the track at night, you're like, I am absolutely pulling right now.
You're so fast, dude. It's crazy.
Yep. Brian Ladder again, Chipotle or In-N-Out since the boys have been slacking. What the hell's he talking about? We ask every guest this. So Chipotle or In-N-Out. You guys don't have In-N-Out on the East Coast. Huh?
Chipotle though.
Have you had In-N-Out?
Yeah, I've had it.
Yeah.
It's a wrong answer, but it's a good opinion.
From Scott Brohagen, is a hamburger a sandwich?
I would consider it a sandwich.
No, fuck that. It's a burger. Burger is different from a sandwich to me. I don't know what it is. It's different.
It's protein and pieces of bread.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You go to McDonald's and you get I guess it's not a burger. It's a chicken sandwich. Never mind.
See,
yeah.
Chicken's different. As soon as it's chicken, it can be called a chicken sandwich. As soon as it's beef, it's a hamburger or a burger.
Imagine you go to McDonald's. Just, can I get a Big Mac sandwich? It's like
wrong.
All right,
wrong.
From Megan Dungeon, funky tacos or hiking in the Arizona desert in vans on your rest day? Wow, that's a very specific question.
She's a Lindenwood girl.
Okay.
Yeah, I got food poisoning at Collegiate Nationals from those tacos she's talking about. Oh, so I'd take the other option.
Hiking in the desert in vans would be tough.
The desert walk.
All right. I think that's all we got, man. Thanks for coming on the show, dude. It's good to catch up. Congrats on a very successful 2023. Looking forward to following you in 2024, man. All the best.
Thank you guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah. Thanks for coming, Joey.
Yeah, man.
Excited for the year for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good
you
luck this week awesome. At home.
Thanks.
Have some fun, buddy. Yeah. Thanks for coming on, dude.
Yep. No problem. See you guys.
Hey, Joey.
See you, buddy.
There we go.
Joey Lito, everyone. Big clap.
Big clap here. Get it. Come on, James. Get it right once in your lifetime here. Hey, here we go. There we go. All right.
Joey Lito, what a good dude.
Dude, it's good to chat with him. Crazy that he was part of starting Sarasota BMX back up, eh? Getting the supercross track or whatnot.
Dude, talk about doing like what you can to help the cause. I feel like a lot of people don't do that. And wow, a lot of us have him to thank for getting that.
He did it when he was 12 years old.
Can you imagine how terrified you'd be? It'd be like nerve-wracking to do now, even as an adult, but as a 12-year-old.
Dude, I had a hard time talking to family friends, like my family friend parents, like at 12 years old. I'd be like, hey, can I go hang out with Johnny today? Like, dude, that was tough.
Yeah. Wow, good for him.
Yeah.
It'll be fun to follow his progress this year, especially at the World Cups and US BMX circuit. Good young prospect in the sport, especially from the US.
Dude, really good. I mean, we talked about it. I mean, kind of came... I keep saying like came out of nowhere. Obviously he's been climbing himself up the ranks the past few years. So if you have been watching him, you have seen that, but it just feels like he stepped into it a lot. And I think working with Connor is probably a big benefit for him. He's probably got a lot of knowledge to help share with him, especially at the world level. I mean, he talks about like the World Cups being a little bit bigger and being something different to handle. And he's excited to race them, but you also need to know how to handle something a little bigger like that. Right. So it's like having someone with the knowledge and the history that knows how to do that will help a lot.
Couldn't agree more. Like, obviously, like you said, the training is one thing. Like, of course, your training has to be good, but you need guidance. You need someone to coach you on the track and off the track to really, really get the best out of yourself. It's not an easy career. And like a coach or mentor can be such a critical person in your life and career.
Yeah. Knowing he spent so much time going to school and working on a school side of things too while racing, to know that he's going all in on just BMX now, I think that makes me even more excited to see how he does and how that translates onto the track.
Yeah, no doubt. Especially this weekend, Sarasota. Look for Joey L to be on the podium.
Come on now. I'm calling it. Calling it on the box.
Come on, Florida folks. Send us some nice DMs now. Now that we had your boy on the show, we need some nice Florida people DMs now. I feel like it's always angry.
Just too much of that. It's 2024. Come on now,
You need to get Joey on the show, guys. You need to get Joey. We have people wanting us to do recaps of Florida state races, which we're not going to do. Joey Lito's the man. Let's go, Florida folk.
I'm calling him for a win this weekend, dude. Going bold.
Love it. Love it.
Bold call. Love to hear it. Call him for a win. Yep. So.
Love to hear it. I'm going podium.
I like it. That's a good call.
I'm going Cam Larson to win.
Cam Larson wins a day for sure for me. Yep. Joey Lito wins another day.
100%. Yeah. All right. Pearlgate Europe. Winning starts the Great Gate. We'll be back next week.
Absolutely. Great show with the Sarasota recap after these winners. Pearlgate Europe. They're going to snap on green, baby.
Snap on green, folks.
Yeah, well, what's this friggin' podcast all about? I don't get it, man. Coffee chatter?
Get off my back, guys. You have to defasten the track.
I hate that guy.